friend and pal and hero in the community, Jeff Mueller, joins us in studios. It's cold as it has been and is going to be over the next few days. Jeff and the Oasis program and so many others in this community do their best to keep those men and women who are homeless in our community just warm. I was telling Lindsay earlier, Jeff, first of all, good morning and thank you for being in with us today. I came in, it was maybe Thursday of last week, and there was a gentleman sleeping in our lobby like 5:30 a.m., 5:45 a.m., And my thought process has grown so much in life as I've known people like you and people like Nancy Rood and people who have, you know, given so much to people who have nothing. And I think there's people that still sort of scoff at that or get annoyed by that. And it's so easy to forget under the layers of all that's a human being. And so we wanted to have you in this morning, you know, just to talk a little bit about the efforts in the community, just to make sure people have, you know, a warm space to exist. What do you do when it gets to be this cold outside?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with them being discerning. You know, they have to be safe. They have to know they're comfortable in their city and on their sidewalks. But you have to realize how cold it is, Brian.
Yeah.
You know, this has just been bitter cold. Our numbers have been up tremendously. Last quarter alone, we were up 156 individuals that we've never seen before.
And are these transient folks? I mean, you know, do they come from other communities or passing through? Or I mean, how does all that work?
For the most part, no.
Okay.
For the most part, these are individuals that have been hanging on by a string. And for whatever reason, maybe it was mismanagement of money. Maybe it was loss of a job. Maybe it was loss of a marriage. But
drug, alcohol, mental health issues, all the above.
Yes, drug, alcohol, and straight up. I mean, at our facility, you know, drugs, alcohol, and mental health are a commonplace. I mean, from the minute I get out of my vehicle to the minute I go home at night.
Yeah, and we have this stigma attached to that too, to addiction, to people self-medicating. You know, it is so easy in this world to be judgmental.
Absolutely.
And you know, that old adage about walking in someone's shoes. I mean, you know, it's never more true to me at the age of 52 than it ever has been in my life.
Yeah.
And I guess that's maybe this just experience. Yeah. But, you know, people that have this opioid, you know, discussion, I had no idea that a human being could become addicted to opioids in 3 days.
Yeah. And at what point does it become my job to judge? You know, job is strictly to keep them alive and keep them warm. And, I've been on that side of the street. You know that.
Yes.
And had I not been on that side of the street, I really would have been one of the narcissistic, judgmental individuals who said, you know, get up, get over it, get a job, move on.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, 90% of our clients, if not more, are all true. They're all individuals wanting something. 5 to 10% or 95% of my problem.
Yeah.
And I think we have to recognize that.
Yeah, you really do. It's just not all created the same. I mean, so you guys literally offer a safe refuge from the streets. You know, it's a drop-in facility, and you offer access to support services. But you're only open during the daylight hours. What happens to these people at night?
Well, fortunately, we have shelters in town. We've got the Salvation Army. I think they've opened up their cold weather facility so they can handle some emergency folks.
And that is like more cots and more space
more cots
for people.
I think I'm guessing probably about an extra 25 cots they can add to their bed space. And that's good for the men. Fortunately, God's Shelter of Love has opened their doors with another program called Carriage House.
Yeah.
And that's helping with the females. That was always an issue in the past. So they don't necessarily have to be on the street right now. But that doesn't mean those services are going to go back to the regular numbers.
Right.
Like I said, with that 156 new people, what's going to happen if we don't react immediately? You know, I tell my staff every day, we do not have the privilege to approach what we do casually any longer.
Yeah. All right. So if folks are out there, and maybe this is just something that's too big to get their arms around as far as being able to physically do something themselves, what's the best way they can help you and help these shelters do the job? I mean, donations, supplies. I mean, what's the best way? You know, you can be like I am. I hate cold. I mean, I'm miserable. But if you just take 5 seconds and think, I don't have to worry about where I'm sleeping tonight.
Yeah.
You know, you can put it into perspective.
Yeah.
And this time of year, but any time of the year, what's the best way people can help Oasis or these shelters that offer this service to people?
Obviously, the basic donations, the warm gloves, the socks, the, you know, those things that we can just bring off and drop by. And one thing that's a real good warm and fuzzy, you know, to be able to do that. But in the behind the scenes, you know, we're trying to keep the power on. We're trying to keep the water. We're doing 700 showers a quarter.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, somebody's looking to help us get more laundry facilities, 900 loads of laundry. You know, these things that are just, you know, you get the other morning I worked by myself and I said, I got it. You know, I'll open up, ladies. And I had 83 people by 8:30.
Yeah.
83 individuals by 8:30. You know, I have a greater respect for what they do on a daily basis.
All right. So there's not a stereotype or an average thing you see, but give me an example of some of the things you see. Where a person, you know, for years, I think, was homeless or not homeless, and now there's such a gray area and so many steps in between that, you know, so many people are living paycheck to paycheck, and so many people have, you know, substance abuse problems, or they're self-medicating, and so, you know, there's a larger degree of sort of what that homeless spectrum looks like today in America.
For me, what changed from dealing with men down to this facility is the females. 230 individuals were females last quarter, and against the 500 and some males.
But yeah, how much more vulnerable are they? In a world.
And let's not kid ourselves. The trafficking and the prostitution is indicator, and it's happening crazy. So that's one of the things I've kind of delved into.
Yeah.
I've tried to educate myself, and you know, we've had a couple luck, a little luck getting a couple of them, you know, off the streets and living a more meaningful life. 25 years old and less. Have become a major component of the shelter now, or of the Oasis now. I think these folks these young ones are just losing their housing. They're off on a whim. They don't get it. You know, they don't understand that life is life, and we got to embrace it. So that's another one. And you know, we're the Oasis Day Center, but we're really excited. This year we're changing up, and we're going to be the Oasis Resource Center as well. And we're going to help folks get from point A to point B. We're going to show our benefactors and the people that support us that we are part of the solution, you know.
All right. Well, you can find out more by going to heritagenet.org if you would like to give or donate. You know, I'm sure blankets, socks, gloves, those kind of things, particularly in this type of harsh weather. Is there a bed for everyone?
Some nights there may be. Some nights it's so up and down in town. I'll drive it, do an outreach at 2 a.m, and I'll see people walking, and I'll stop. They just don't want to go to what's available for whatever reason.
Yeah, there's that.
You know, and I have to respect that. Yeah. You know, I also believe that housing is a right. It's not a privilege. And with that, though, comes conditions and so forth that you have to live around. And we have folks that don't want to do that, do that either. But financially, to get us through the winter and start into the spring, we need some help. You know, right. We need some help to get us through that last hump and to still be able to provide the services that these clients need.
Well, you're doing God's work, my friend. And I would imagine that people are happy that someone is doing that work, and the least they can do would be to help it financially, help arm you with the tools you need to continue to do the job you're doing.
Stop by for a tour sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stop by. Come I know see what that, we do.
And it sounds sort of like a strange request, but I'm telling you, you will learn.
Yeah.
And see it with your own eyes. It's so easy. You know, I know what a giving community this is. I know the generosity that is expressed on a day-to-day basis. But I also know there's a lot of people out there that kind of go to their nice job and drive to their nice home and don't really pay attention to the peripheral. You would really have an eye-opening experience if you got a chance to look into what Jeff and his crew do down there at Oasis. It's an amazing thing. We appreciate your work.
Thank you for your support.
What's the best way to get a hold of you if people want to talk?
Give me a call at the Oasis. I'll give you my cell number. It's 217-848-0783. That's the best way to get a hold of me directly, and we can make plans for whatever you want. Maybe you should just stop by and say hi or have a cup of coffee. I'd love to have you.
Maybe it's a family member that's got somebody who's going through this, and they just don't know who to talk to.
And many do.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. Back with more after this.
Don't miss the Culinary Affair of the Year at Hearts Around the World, February 2nd from 6 to 9 p.m. at Cafe DMH, an evening of cuisine.